Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Clint here with my co-host, Dr. Sam, and we want to wish you a Happy New Year. Thank you for joining us. And we have made it to year two. Hey, we wrapped up last year of celebrating that we had completed 1 year, and we didn't get canceled over the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, or at least we haven't been told if we have.
That's right, yeah.
So we are a toddler now, Clint. Learning how to walk, learning how to walk.
Yeah.
Been crawling a lot this past year.
People are hoping we'll learn to talk, at least a little more clearly, maybe. It's been a great first year. We're excited about year two and excited about what the Lord is doing across our state and some focuses that we have this year as a convention, and appreciate our leadership of Dr. Rex Horn, who has really focusing 2025 on revitalization.
Yeah, great emphasis. Those who are listeners who are part of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention are going to be hearing a lot this coming year on revitalization. And that is just helping local churches regain health or become even more healthy than they currently are. And that's going to be a huge emphasis. We're just beginning that process, Clint, with some think tanks and kind of pulling in a lot of leaders across the state to come up with exactly what the strategy, what the plan, how are we going to approach this. But listeners, be ready for a lot of content that's going to focus on revitalization, restoring the health to the local church. You know, as we talk about churches across our state, and that's where the majority of our listeners come from, Clint. We are an Arkansas Baptist State Convention podcast, and so the majority of our listeners are members or leaders in Arkansas Baptist State Convention churches. However, we know as well that we've got listeners from multiple states and several international friends that are listening to the episodes as well, and we are grateful for each one who makes it a point every couple of weeks, you know, to tune in, to listen, as they're traveling, whatever it may be, to call up an episode and get caught up. We're grateful for you guys, for each and every one of you who are listening. But as we think about our churches across our state, with Arkansas being a predominantly rural state, the great majority of our churches are what we would call smaller membership churches, or I love what Mark Clifton and the group over there at Revitalize and Replant podcast, they use the term normative size. Yeah. Because in Arkansas, that is the normative size church. We've just got some 2023 annual church profile data that supports that. Clint, you want to share a little bit along those lines?
That's right. So even if we look just the broader Southern Baptist Convention, according to Lifeway Research, 68% of our churches average less than 100.
And that's across the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's across the SBC. You look at Arkansas, 75% of our churches average less than 100. And 25% are between 1 and 300. So if you look at that, 95% of our churches average less than 300, but the predominant majority is less than 100. That is who we are. That is why we love the word normative, because exactly, that is normal for Arkansas, is a church that's 100 or less than 100.
Now, let me ask a question. Why do you prefer normative over small or smaller?
Well, usually when we hear the word small, there's a negative connotation that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at it from a missional perspective or missions perspective, we can use small as an excuse for why we can't do missions or why we can't do anything, you know. And so it does become a limiting factor or, you know, a limitation, I guess you'd say, rather than looking and going, this is normal. So God is using normal churches. How can he use our church?
Yeah, exactly. And what you just said, Clint, you and I both, with multiple contacts we have throughout the year with churches across our state, I cannot tell you how many conversations I have with local church pastors or leaders within the church, or maybe it's a church that I preach on Sunday morning, have a conversation with a missions team or whoever it may be, someone in that church. And I ask them a question about, hey, tell me about the church. What is God doing here? What's something good going on? I can't tell you how many times the conversation automatically goes to this. Well, we're just a small church. We're just a small rural church. And when we hear that, we know what's behind that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it means nothing much is happening. We're not expecting much to happen because we are a small church. We're not a large church. And things of importance happen at large churches. That's the assumption that a lot of people have. And with that becomes what happens in a smaller membership church or a normative-sized church is not significant. It's not important. It's not meaningful. I would like to introduce in this episode that's false as it could be.
That's right.
That is just a lie that we have somehow believed to be true.
Yeah. And, you know, when we look at our stories, now, going back to that Lifeway research, they say 8% of SBC churches are 250 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had were blessed to pastor two churches that would have been in that category. But we also pastored churches that were much smaller than that.
Exactly.
And we have had the conversation between ourselves, so I'll put it out for our listeners, not to take away from the ministry we had at the larger churches, but the most fun I had as a pastor was in those smaller churches. The best relationships I had was in those smaller churches.
Yeah, and we still have those relationships today.
Absolutely.
Both of us do. We talk about that. There are individuals that we still count as great personal close friends that Martha and I speak with, we communicate with from that very first church that we pastored as a seminary student, you know, that averaged 30, 40, 50 folks, on a Sunday. Incredible relationships that were built there, significant, meaningful ministry that occurred through that church. And that's what we want to talk about. So there's this article that we've run across from Kerry Newhoff. Kerry's one of those guys that Clint and I love to read information that he gives to us. This one's called Three Unique Advantages Small Churches Have in a Rapidly Changing Culture. So we want to talk a little bit today about these unique advantages that normative-sized churches have and how we capitalize on that. I think there's this stigma that's out there that's attached to normative or small. That word small, insignificant, doesn't have much meaning, no impact. You know, whatever you may want to describe that word. And too often as church leaders, we've just automatically bought into that. It becomes, part of our thinking. This is a small place. It's a small church in a small place, and it's if we were to grow, if we were in a better location, then we could have some meaningful ministry. We could make a difference. Guys, most of our listeners are of normative sized churches. My encouragement of this new year is not to believe that lie. Not to believe that lie. You know, there's a verse of scripture that I come to often when we're looking at the new year. And it's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this age." And I think that's the thinking of this age as well. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So as we're looking at this article, and we kind of talk back and forth on the truths that Carrie shares and we want to share with you, please think along this line, guys, that small does not mean insignificant. Normative-sized churches are who we are as Arkansas Baptist State Convention. And there are unique advantages that you have as a pastor, as a leader of a normative size church. That Lifeway research that you talked about, Clint, Rainer basically said there's a new definition of large church.
Yeah.
Hey, a large church now is any church over 250. That's a large church,
yeah.
Okay? Normative is where most of our leaders are, most of our churches are in our state. And so we want to kind of walk through what we have pulled out of this article as the most important thoughts that Newhoff is sharing with us. And here's a question he leads with, Clint. We'll start with this. What can a normative-sized church do to gain traction in a culture that's changing faster than ever? And he lists three unique advantages that normative-sized churches have, regardless of budget or size. And the first is this: community over content. Community over content.
Yeah, he makes a statement that, you know, really we fall into a couple of traps, and that is you're tempted to think that you have to compete with larger churches in terms of your marketing and your sermon approach. And then when you realize you can't do that, you're tempted to throw in the towel.
Mm.
And so, you know, that, and I think it'll tie in closely here to the second point, but you can get so focused on, I've got to have great content. And I mean, that doesn't excuse or give you an excuse for poor preaching or not being prepared. But he makes the comment that a better approach is to preach as well as you can and not worry at all about comparing yourself to other churches.
Exactly. Content's important. We know that. And Newhoff in no way is saying content is not important. It is very important. Of course, we also know, Clint, that a lot of our churches, and I don't have that data in front of me, but a lot of that 75% that's under 100 in worship attendance on a Sunday morning, the normative-sized churches for Arkansas, we know that the medium average attendance is 50 in Arkansas. So if you take all the Arkansas Baptist churches that that report on the annual church profile, and you were to put your finger right in the middle of there are an equal number on the left side of 50 as there are on the right side of 50. So 50 is that median average of worship attendance. We know that majority of those churches are going to be co-vocational, bivocational, trivocational. Yeah. You know, yeah. The pastor has another job, you know, besides being the pastor of the church. There's another way of primary, you know, finances for the family. With that comes time. There's time in that job, and so that takes away time from what you may want to use in preparing for sermons. No way are we saying that when we say community over content, that content is not important. Yes, it is, and you need to preach as well as you can.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got to deliver a sound sermon in a way that that people are going to listen. And you know, we've got folks here at our state convention. Be happy to come alongside if you're struggling in that area and kind of give some pointers there. But the advantage that you have over larger churches is this whole understanding of community and the healthy church culture that you're able to cultivate as a smaller membership church or a normative-sized church.
Yeah, and so I think, and again, these will overlap as we go through them, but people are looking for community. They're looking for relationship. You know, today, content is everywhere.
I mean, everywhere.
We won't talk about how much time we waste taking in content looking at our phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. That is content, but community is scarce. And you have to be intentional in developing community. It's giving people a place of belonging. It's taking care of people. In a pastoral sense, it's pastoral care. But in a Sunday school class, it's taking care of people. It's
exactly.
Giving people a place where they belong and a family in which they can be a part of, and then a community with which they serve, with which they grow, and with which they are growing in Christ-likeness and plugging into the greater mission of the church.
Yeah, and please don't hear this as well. Don't hear us saying that larger churches cannot create community.
Yeah.
Okay?
But they have to be intentional just like a smaller
church
does.
And they have to work harder at it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because there has to be much more focus there in a larger membership church of creating and cultivating that community. Or as Newhoff says, it can feel more like a random assembly of individuals who don't know each other. But in a smaller membership church, in a normative-sized church, you have a unique opportunity to cultivate a sense of community and belonging both in the service and throughout the week. And that's important, that you're creating community in the service itself and throughout the week. Now, as Clint said, content is everywhere. Community is scarce. What we see today happening across our world, people are, because of the advance in technology and all, people are more connected than they've ever been. But they are lonelier than they've ever been as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have... And one of these lies that, of course, this is another renewed our thinking, renewal of our mind. One of these lies that we've followed is the most important thing is how many followers you have, you know. How often have people taken this phone, Clint, looked on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, and to see how many people have responded to a post that they put online.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as if that number means anything.
That's right.
<know?
Yeah.
laughs> As if it means anything. It really doesn't. You know, the most important thing is not followers, but friends. And what we've kicked it around so often, it's kind of old saying, but, you know, that people aren't looking for a friendly church. We like to say our church is friendly,
yeah.
But people are looking for a place where they can have friends.
That's right.
And so in a smaller membership church, a normative-sized church, it's just easier to create that healthy culture and that community. and focus on those connections that are there.
Yeah, and you know, Newhall finishes, says, you know, please deliver great sermons and preach the word authentically and passionately, but instead of trying to win at content, focus meaningful energy on community and connection.
Yeah.
So again, there's that intentionality. And I think it boils down to it's taking care of people. It's focusing on relationships. It's providing pastoral care. It's having your small groups take care of people. But it's the sense of belonging. You've got a sweatshirt on. They can't see it, of course, but it says, you belong here. And it came from, you know, church that you were serving in. That's what people are longing for. Again, as you mentioned, is a place to belong. Show them, and then not just show them, but let them experience that. You know, and he makes the statement, in an age where loneliness and isolation are impacting so many people, nobody should be able to out-community the local church.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff right there. Now, I don't know exactly what I want to say, but I feel like I need to say something along this line of what you just said in quoting Newhoff, instead of trying to win at content. Most of us aren't going to win at content, Clint.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
We have some gifted preachers in the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, no doubt about it. And we have some gifted communicators who are serving normative-sized churches. I mean, I would go and listen to them every Sunday because they're just that good. They just have that gift of drawing people in as they deliver a sermon. Each of us can name people, you know, that we would go today and sit and listen to them over and over and over again, you know. But most of us, we're not going to win at content.
Yeah.
So, again, preach a good sermon, but make sure community is where the focus is and creating this healthy culture. Now, along that line on healthy culture, and I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but I want to refer to another article. And if you guys want to look at this, this is another Newhoff article that he entitles Five Essential Building Blocks of a Healthy Church Culture. And the culture that we're talking about, he says, mission is what you do, vision is what you see, culture is how your church feels. How your church feels. It's the unspoken rules, the vibe, and the climate of your church experienced by members, staff, and visitors. He says that a church's culture is healthy, amazing things happen. People love being there. People grow in their faith. Your church becomes attractive to the community. And then he talks about a bad culture and gets us thinking that culture is that reason you love shopping in some stores, despise shopping in others. It's why you love some airlines and pass on others. It's why some families always have fun when they're together and others can't stand to be in the same room. But he goes through these five steps, and there's only one that I want to pull out at this point because I think it's really pertinent to what we're saying and addressing church leaders. This is number four in the five, Clint. Here's what he says. Model the change you want to see. Model the change you want to see. Pastors, listen to this. Your church will only be as healthy as you are. And if you want to stress community, then you have to model what community is about. Any conversation, Newhoff says, about church health starts in the mirror for a leader. It starts looking in that mirror, okay? And then he asked these questions. And I'm glad that he's the one that asked these or makes these statements and asks these questions because we can address them too this way. He says, want to see a church that invites people on Sundays? How many conversations have we had with pastors, Clint, that have said, our folks just never invite anybody to come? You want to see a church that invites people on Sundays, then pastor, invite people on Sundays.
That's right.
Wants to see a church that gives generously, then give generously. Wants to see a church that has a deep passion for the mission, then exude passion for the mission. That's incredible. That's it gold is. Stuff.
Yes.
So you want to build community? Hey, pastor, model what you want to see in the church. Community. And it's much easier to do that in a normative-sized church. What's number two, Clint?
All right, the second advantage that normative-sized churches have is authenticity over expensive technology.
Another lie that we bought into.
Yeah, you know, oftentimes our churches are behind when it comes to technology, and we're trying to catch up. And, you know, that's just reality with that, with technology changing as quick as it does. But if you track, Newhoff mentions, if you track what's happening with younger millennials and Gen Z, you'll quickly notice that they are the most sold to and marketed to generation. So while they're used to that level of marketing and 24/7 messaging, catch this, they're also looking for an alternative to the culture, not an echo of it.
That's worth repeating. Say that again.
So they're looking for an alternative to the culture, not an echo of it.
So they're looking for something totally different.
Yes.
They're not experiencing authenticity in culture. They're looking for authenticity. And a normative-sized church is a place where that can occur more easily.
Yeah, I mean, he points out those churches have the opportunity to preach and interact with people in a genuine, real way. You know, and that's as simple as, in a normative-sized church, you can speak to every person there every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
You can shake everybody's hand, hug the little old ladies that want to be hugged. And, I mean, it is, and it's spending time with them. It's not just passing by quickly. It's, again, building a relationship. It's getting to know your people. It's knowing their needs. It's laughing with those folks. It is just being real. That's what authenticity is.
And he says authenticity will never show up in a church budget, nor can you strategize for it. It springs from character and a genuine desire to serve. And then number three is this, being locally respected over being nationally known. That goes back to what you said earlier about no one should out-local the local church.
That's right. And you know what? Your church has a reputation in its community. And I think, again, we can take the adage, you know, three advantages of normative churches. This could be three advantages of rural churches.
Exactly.
Because the smaller the community, the more likely that people know what's happening in your church. Mm-hmm. And so he says every church has a reputation, and the smaller your community, the more likely your church has a well-known reputation among people who live in your community. Flip side of that is they can also have a negative reputation.
Yeah, in a smaller community, here's what happens. News travels fast.
Absolutely, it does. Yes.
Almost before it happens. It's already out there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So what we need you to see, and what I want you to see, is that in a smaller membership church, a normative-sized church in the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, hey, good news travels fast as well.
Absolutely.
So create the good news. Serve your local community. There's an incredible study that he alludes to on the halo effect of smaller churches. It was done with Methodist churches in the Mideast, I believe, North Carolina, those areas off in there, I think. Hey, one thing that could really, I'm just thinking about this, I don't know, maybe it's something I do, but if there's a listener that's looking at a PhD or a DMin project, what an incredible topic of doing a study on normative-sized churches in the Arkansas Baptist State Convention and the halo effect. That's the economic impact that church is having in the community. You want to know more about that, holler at me. Be happy to talk with you about that. Let's wrap this up, Clint.
Well, let's before we do that, let's just point out a statement he makes here. And I know we're getting close to our desired 30-minute time, but there are countless inspiring stories of local churches serving their communities with practical aid for schools, shelter for the unhoused, food for the hungry, and a desire to help their towns and municipalities thrive. Mm. And that's what we're getting at when we talk about that they can be locally respected and not focus on being nationally known.
Yeah.
It's not about how many likes and retweets you can get or how many people watch your service, those kind of things. It's what lives are you impacting? How's the stories being told? How's the word about your church spreading across town? And, you know, we, again, as you talked about, getting the opportunity to serve churches across the state, there are tons of our churches that are doing just that, that are feeding the hungry, that are, you know, assisting schools, that are just adding value to their communities. And, you know, to wrap all of this up, when you do that, boy, it really values your community realizes the value of their community.
Yeah.
The community of the church realizes mm-hmm. we're a part of something that's greater than just ourselves. And you see how far the reach is. And people then see the authenticity that comes as you are engaging people throughout your community. So I encourage you, go back to one of our first episodes last year on knowing and loving your community, where we really focused on this topic of how you can get outside the walls of your church. A thing, Dr. Sam, that really helped me is I was a senior at Williams last semester, and I had to read a little book called No Little Places.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talk about a rural place or a church that maybe is not flashy, they make the statement in that book that says the best place is not always the biggest or even the most comfortable place. The best place is the place of God's appointment.
Oh, that's good.
So wherever God has called you, whatever the size, whatever the town looks like, let's just look at the unique advantages that you have in a rapidly changing culture. And let's just be faithful where the Lord has appointed us.
Amen. That's a good word. Hey, and to wrap it up, let me just repeat these three unique advantages that normative-sized churches have regardless of budget or size. Community over content is number one. Community over content. Authenticity over expensive technology. Community over content. Authenticity over expensive technology, and being locally respected over being nationally known. And what it all boils down to, Clint, is exactly what you just said. We have to stop comparing ourselves to others. Stop comparing what your church may not be able to do to what other churches are able to do. And you do what you can do and do it well.
Do it well, yes.
Build community. Be authentic and serve your local community as best you can with the resources you have. As Newhoff says, the future is bright for normative-sized churches with a heart to serve God and reach their communities.
Hey, thank you for joining us today. Encourage you as you're looking at the new year, check out and begin to prepare for the spring outreach strategy. Check out absc.org/SOS and learn how you can use what we've talked about here today to be engaged in your local community this spring. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.